Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone here to our service today, especially any visitors that we have with us. After the service, we have a tea and coffee through in the main hall at the back there. You're very welcome. We look forward to seeing you there. And there's a tradecraft stall as well. In addition, today there is a plant stall, and the proceeds from the plant stall will be used to raise money for Christian Aid. Talking about Christian Aid, Maureen advises me that if people have not got any gift aid envelopes, there will be some at the three exits to the church here for anyone who wants to pick up a spare envelope. The other intimations are in the order of service, and I've been asked by Carol Sinclair to advise everyone the Beetle Drive next Saturday at 7 o'clock. Tickets are for sale in the hall after the service, and raffle tickets for hampers. Also, if anyone can help with some baking, can they call Carol? And the number is in the order of service. I'm going to ask Alan Johnson to come up shortly and talk about questions and croissant, which will be held next Saturday in the hub. But I'd also like to welcome David Hutchison here again. And David's from University of Aberdeen, and he will be leading us in our service today. So Alan, if you would come up and talk about questions and croissant. Thank you very much.
Yes, this is just a few words of reassurance to those of you who might have been concerned, that to let you know that in Ewan's absence, we will still be holding the questions and croissant session the last Saturday of the month, next Saturday, from 8:30 till 10 in the hub. It's being hosted this month by myself and Graham Mackey, who unfortunately isn't here today because he's down with the flu. Hopefully he'll be better next week. For those of you who haven't been, it's questions and croissants, as Ewan says. If you bring the questions, he will supply the croissants, or will supply the croissants. I think in Ewan's absence, there may not be as many answers this week, but the discussion usually centres around areas of faith, scripture, and how it relates to our everyday lives. If we take the example of last month's discussion, we range from discussion on the meaning of the Book of Revelation to Monty Python, so it's quite a broad and not too focused discussion. So I look forward to seeing you, those of you who are interested, next Saturday morning at the Hub at 8:30. Thank you.
I'm looking around me and I'm not seeing a hymn book. If there could be a hymn book, I may require it. Thank you very much. Perfect. I am David Hutchison, and I am very glad to be back with you all. My father was a minister for many years of his life, and he had an individual in Rubislaw who had this uncanny ability to meet my father at the front door following every service. Scott, when you mentioned I think actually you'll find that the correct terminology is in the end, my father decided to make it clear to this individual that there would be at least one intentional mistake. Now, I was down in Edinburgh on Friday evening and then into Saturday because our eldest child, our daughter Carrie, was 21. So Friday evening became Saturday morning, and I've had a very enjoyable weekend. But I think I'm conscious that there may be more than one intentional mistake. And you may grow fed up and decide to take the door early today. I wouldn't blame you. But thank you for being here in Ewan's absence. Thank you for coming together, young and less young. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Let's sing together. Let's sing hymn 104. The Lord of Heaven Confess. Hymn 104. Boys and girls, I would love to chat to you and show you something on my computer. Now, I don't think I'm going to put it here and ask, hang on, before you say anything, can any of you see what that says, or do you need to be closer? Go ahead. Glory to God in the highest. So you can see that. Great. In that case, stay right where you are. But if my screensaver suddenly latches on, you can give me a shout. Because I can't see what's happening. Glory to God in the highest. There's a story. I wonder, can I just for the moment? Now, I can see you. There's a story about a church in Glasgow, and young folk used to hang about around the church, getting bored, getting a bit fed up. They happened to notice that there was a lovely stained glass window in the church. And this is what it said in the stained glass window. Glory to God in the highest. Please tell me it's still there. Now, the kids were getting bored. And as kids are wont to do, they found some stones and started kicking the stones around, playing with them. And then suddenly saw the big stained glass window and thought, ooh, that would make a good noise. Do not try this at home. One of them, but naughty, took the stone and hurled it at the stained glass window. It crashed through the window. And this is what happened. It took out the letter E of highest. The elders all gathered the following day to have a look at the damage. What did the window say now? Can any of you see? Yes. High Saint. Close. Glory to God in the high. What's ST short for? Do any of you? Yes. Oh, it's on the tip of your tongue. I know. All right, you're, I think, way beyond me in terms of phonetics. I think you're right. Glory to God in the highest, but the E has been broken out of the window. It makes a different word. High, it's no longer high est, it's high st. And what's ST short for? Come on, Cuts, kids. I know you can do it. Yes. Street. Yes. I need a drink of water. Well done. All of a sudden, the elders looked at their lovely new window and said, you know, I think we need to learn a lesson here. We all talk about giving glory to God in the highest heavens And we all love to give him our praise and worship, but actually, where it really counts is whether all of us can give glory to God in the high street, in our homes, at our school, when we're out to play, when we're with our family. That's as important, to give God the glory in our everyday life. Thank you so much. I'll close that. Let's sing hymn 530. Hymn 530, one more step along the world I go. Let us pray. Living and loving Lord, wherever we go, wherever we look, we are conscious of your loving embrace to us, your children. And so as we have Son, so now we pray out loud, even young and old, exalt his name, for much his fame should be extolled. Accept, dear Lord, accept our praise and thanksgiving today for the sunshine, yes, and even the rain. For buttered toast and that first gulp of tea or coffee in the morning, for the new smells and colors in the garden, for a heartwarming bowl of soup and the crusty bread to dip. We simply cannot measure the love you pour out upon us all. Accept our heartfelt thanks today. And living Lord, when the soup or the buttered toast lose their charm, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the gift of your very self to win us for life and purpose and glory. But accept too our sorrow and our faults and failings, all those times we have knowingly ignored the need or purposefully turned our back on our neighbor or simply refused to help out. This day, we are sorry for our self-interest, our self-will, and our selfishness. Forgive us all, we ask, and help us to listen to your call and heed your word this day and every day, we pray. And we unite our prayers by saying out loud the prayer Christ taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Isabel.
The first reading today is Psalm 23, and this is taken from the New International Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And reading from the New Testament, it's Matthew chapter 11 at the very end, reading from verse 28 to 30. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. May God bless us understanding of these words and readings. Amen.
Hymn 465. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Hymn 645. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open your word to our hearts and open our hearts to your word through Jesus Christ, your word incarnate. Amen. In the past couple of weeks, I have been amazed at the talk of change within and around the church on three distinct occasions in the last 10, 14 days. I've heard an interview on Radio Scotland with a former moderator of the General Assembly who was talking about online worship. Anyone hear that? No? Very Reverend Albert Bogle was the man's name, discussing online worship. And then I read a piece, I think it was also online, about online baptism. I gather there's discussion about Skype calls being utilized to allow a baptism to occur in the presence of a minister and parents and a child, or not a child, for baptism. And there's also on the General Assembly agenda this week, there is talk of online congregations. Now, if you're under 30, You're probably thinking, about time, for goodness sake. It's taken all my life to get here. Or you're over 50 like me and thinking, oh my Lord, online baptism, online worship, help. And then I was reminded, Isabel read the New Testament scripture from a translation called The Message, a very modern, upbeat translation. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Go online and find me there, says Jesus. Befriend me on Facebook and I will be with you forever. Amen. No. That's not actually. But changes are happening here, folks. Online is happening increasingly. My daughter, who turned 21, did I mention that? We are giving her a MacBook. She lives much of her life, whether it's Skype, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, she's there. That's her world and us old folks. Yes, I'm pointing at myself. We need to get up to speed here. This is happening. Actually, what the words were was, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me, says Jesus. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. 3 points, as much for my benefit as for yours. Changes are coming. And whether we're under 30 or over 50, or even in between, changes are coming and we must embrace them, or we'll be sitting here in 50 years' time wondering where everyone's gone. Changes are coming and we must embrace them. Secondly, corporate worship is not to be discarded. I'll come back to that. And thirdly, with the help of a poem that Adrian Plass has written, the church is to reveal who we truly are. Change is coming and we must embrace them. As I say, I was listening to Albert Bogle discussing his website, sanctuaryfirst.org. Please check it out. It is a website that is rich with prayer, sermons, talks, blogs. It is a huge and valuable resource to an increasing number of people who are simply rushed off their feet. SanctuaryFirst.org. But maybe that's the answer. Maybe forget the pews or the chairs. Forget the hefty hymn books that, you know, what number, what, where are we going? What did he say? And best of all, forget that awful, embarrassing moment when you see the collection plate approaching. Maybe online worship is the way ahead. But I was intrigued because the interviewer on Radio Scotland said to Albert Bogle, so I'd always thought that church was about company and community and so on, but presumably this online worship thing means you don't have to go to church, means you don't have to go out of your front door. No, said Albert Bogle. That is not what Sanctuary First is about. It is to run in parallel with corporate worship, with meeting together, with worshiping together. It is to support and occasionally fill the gaps when we cannot get here or get to worship. So number two, corporate worship is not being discarded. When Jesus says in the lesson, come to me, get away with me, take a rest with me. It is not, and it has never been, Christ's intention to isolate us from one another. No, do not go down that route. I've heard it so often. I just have my worship in my home. I can't come to church, or I don't wish to come to church. And you know, I'm just left with the feeling that so often it is an excuse. And listen to the words from Hebrews 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. When Christ says to us, keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. His words, his invitation, is for us to be united, to be with one another, both online, but especially in person. Our faith is to ensure that we are looking out, not in, exploring ways of worship, not shoring up, journeying, not entrenching, finding new ways and not sticking with the, if it ain't broke, fix it. And let us acknowledge that religion, that word no longer has any attraction for people. Religion is almost a dirty word. Words like faith, spirituality, pilgrimage, spontaneity, these are the vocabulary of faith. And lastly, the church is to reveal who we truly are. I remember John Chalmers was the moderator of the General Assembly a couple of years ago, I think, came to Aberdeen to preach at our Founders Day service. And I was driving him back to the Athol Hotel where he was staying, and I said, John, let's take our dog collars out for a moment. How's it going, truly, truthfully? And he shook his head. 2 years ago, as you well know, and for umpteen years before that, the church has been soul searching to try and work out what it needs to say about gay clergy, gay marriage, gay civil partnerships, and so forth. And John Chalmers, bless him, had the guts to say, I am saddened that in my year as moderator, we have been so inward looking. The church will be known by its people as much on a Sunday morning as by Monday to Saturday. What we give, what we do, how we live our lives beyond the four walls of this sanctuary is as important. But as we know, very often, let's admit it, there are people who like to be seen in church, who like to make a grand gesture to the offering plate. We know those people. We know them. And there are some other problems in the church. Isabel, I would like you to listen to an Adrian Plass poem called The Real Problem. And maybe it will give you a sense of some of the problems we encounter in church.
Oops. I'm sorry if I'm the real problem. Sort of came over as that. Anyway, this is, as you've heard, Adrian Plass's poem called The Real Problem. Sunday is a funny day. It starts with lots of noise. Mummy rushes round with socks and Daddy shouts, "You boys." Then Mummy says, "Now don't blame them. You know you're just as bad. You've only just got out of bed and that makes me really mad." My mummy is a Christian. My daddy is as well. My mummy says, "Oh heavens." My daddy says, "Oh hell." And when we get to church at last, it's really very strange, because mum and dad stop arguing. And suddenly, they change. At church, my mum and dad are friends. They get on very well. But no one knows they've had a row, and I'm not going to tell. People often come to them because they seem so nice, and mum and dad are very pleased to give them some advice. They tell them Christian freedom is worth an awful lot. But I don't know what freedom means, if freedom's what they've got. Daddy loves the meetings, He's always at them all. He's learning how to understand the letters of St. Paul. But Mummy says, I'm stuck at home to lead my Christian life. It's just as well for blinking Paul, he didn't have a wife. I once heard my mummy say she'd walk out of his life. I once heard Daddy say to her he'd picked a rotten wife. They really love each other. I really think they do. I think the people in the church would help them if they knew.
I really think the people in the church would help them if they knew. The church, as a corporate body of people, must seek to be a place of openness, honesty, and support, mutual support. Yes, online worship, online baptism, online congregations are sure as anything all coming to a screen near you. But right here, right now, this ought to be a place of openness and honesty and mutual support. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. Meeting together is vital. We learn so much about ourselves in the midst, but we also learn what makes others tick. But this is not the end of the line. This is where the work begins. When we walk away from Cults Parish Church at 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock, that is where our faith begins to shine, where we can support friends, colleagues, neighbors. We can make our church, our faith, prominent in ways that others are drawn to. Glory to God in the highest. Yeah. But glory to God in the high street. Amen. Hymn 609. Come living Lord when least expected. Hymn 609.
Oh,
Your offerings will now be received. Loving Lord, all that we own and all that we are is thanks to your loving kindness. Accept these our offerings as a token of our gratitude and joy in who you are and what you have done for each one of us. Let us pray for the people of Sri Lanka after the rains and the flooding. God of mercy and God of love, hear us now as we pray for the thousands of people displaced by the weeks of rain and the resultant floods. We thank you for their resourcefulness, their tenacity, ingenuity, and creativity. But today we pray in particular for the very young and the very old, the vulnerable, asking that they be supported and that the emergency services would not be hindered in their work. Generous God, hear our prayer for the many, both in Sri Lanka and elsewhere, who have lost their homes and are on the move, and help us to ensure that help, medication, support, and homes be found for all who have lost what they held dear. Closer to home, let us pray for wisdom and clarity from all who speak out on Europe. God of grace and God of goodness, as June the 23rd edges closer, we ask that you would help all those who speak out to do so with care, with clarity, and without venom or malice. God of all knowledge, guide our thinking, our conversation, and our deliberations, that we may vote with conviction and courage. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah. And lastly, in a moment of quiet, let us name before God those people whom we know and love, who are in grief, who are in difficulty, who are in trouble in any way. And Jesus says these words to us all. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God of love and God of mercy, God of comfort and God of peace, hear our prayers in Christ's name. Amen. I should ask how many mistakes you all can do. We close our worship by singing together verses 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 510, hymn 510, Jesus calls us here to meet him, verses 1, 2, and 3. From here in peace. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you all and remain with you all, now and forevermore.